Men, women, children lying in rows killed by poison gas. Others foaming at the mouth, gasping for breath. A father clutching his dead children, imploring them to get up and walk. I'm sending Secretary of State John Kerry to meet his Russian counterpart on Thursday, and I will continue my own discussions with President Putin. This initiative has the potential to remove the threat of chemical weapons without the use of force, particularly because Russia is one of Assad's strongest allies.
Welcome to America Tonight. That's a little bit of the president from the East Room addressing the nation over Syria. And, of course, where are we now after that address, and where are we headed? Some interesting conclusions I think we could pull out of some of what the Prez said. And we're going to talk to several different people about that, including Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News, coming up in our very next segment from Washington, D.C. Also, Andrew Szabo joins us with Peel Back the Onion and some observations on what was said. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and, of course, all roads lead to Damascus, so to speak, through the United States. The president, throughout the speech, mentioned military strikes. Precision strikes is what he's talking about, and the chemical weapons question, too, as well, was heavy, starting with what happened on August 21st, saying he resisted calls for military action in Syria because we can't solve someone else's civil war through force. But he said things changed on August 21st. Once we got the images, they were, as he described, sickening. You heard a little bit of that there talking about the gas. And so he outlined the evidence that led to his conclusion that Assad used, and our intelligence community's conclusion that Assad used chemicals and chemical weapons on people, saying these things happened, the facts can't be denied, and ultimately summed it up right from the very start that the question is what the U.S. and the international community is prepared to do about it. What are we prepared to do about it? But in between the time when it was announced that the president was going to address the nation during prime time and the time he actually got on the air, there was a deal on the table from the Russians talking about Syria and their friends, and saying that Assad was willing to get rid of chemical weapons. So this certainly changed what could have been what was said in the address, figuring, okay, we're going to go in these military targeted strikes. We're going to go in and this is what we're going to do because we're not going to have boots on the ground. We're not going to stay there for months. And we're going to lay out a couple of different things here. But because of the deal possibility with the deal with Russia brokering that, the whole thing turned around. And what's really, really crazy is I think some of the things that weren't in this address, what we didn't see in, I guess, this, you know, in this speech, a lot of the same things we've already been talking about were laid out. Okay, yes, we know this. He at one point talked about the way people were reacting to the possibility of acting militarily. So it was like the president was listening to talk radio and had a list of, okay, this is what people don't want in America, this is what the polls are showing, and this is how I'm going to handle this. Almost like he was shedding off all the doubters all the way through the entire thing. So I thought he was short to the point on the positive side. He seemed forceful in what he was saying and what he was trying to make out the case for, but it was like a sales pitch. He was sort of like the chief persuader, I guess, if anything. It certainly wasn't Reagan-esque. It wasn't even Clinton-esque, and it wasn't anything you would hear out of the mouth of some of our other great orators, to be sure. And I said on a previous show, if he was really going to sell this, it had to be the speech or the moment of his life. And it certainly wasn't that. He was going to have skeptics anyway. There was going to be skepticism about what he did. There was going to be a lot of that cynicism no matter what. But I think that's what he was trying to do. It was almost like he was, it was not only a sales pitch, it was about trying to please all the doubters. Let me knock this down, let me knock that down, let me tell you what I'm hearing. So this is why we're not going to take a dictator out, because we tried to do that in Iraq and it didn't work, so we're not going to do that with Assad, because then look what happens afterwards and we'll be blamed for that. So he didn't, certainly to me, he didn't persuade me. And was he compelling enough to justify what would happen with even a targeted military strike? No, because we know that there's massive uncertainties in any of these actions that you could possibly take. And Bashar Assad, who was on with Charlie Rose, talked about retaliation if there were strikes from the United States, and then Russia stepped in. So that was part of the big drama. But all of that wasn't put in what I think would be the case to be made to the nation as to what was going on here. There was no clarity in this. There was no consistency, I think, in what he was saying with the build-up to this and the reasons why we would go into Syria. Other than to constantly reinforce, no boots on the ground, wouldn't take a long time, that kind of stuff. So the... what's crazy is the Russian endorsement of John Kerry's idea, because it was initially Kerry's idea, which is crazy, and he's not going to get credit for it, because ultimately Putin will if this whole thing stops, is how you could preempt a military attack by turning over the chemical weapons. So by doing that, if that happens, there is no vote that's going to take place, I don't believe, this week in Congress. And we're waiting now to see what happens with the UN, and the president even mentioned that. There's two meetings. There's a meeting at the UN with what they would call the P5s, and then there is the meeting with the foreign minister in Russia and John Kerry laying out the possibilities of giving up the chemical weapons, which there would have to be a verifiable timeline. So that we'd know exactly when things were happening, and there would have to be an inventory and complete access to those chemical weapons. And would you trust Syria to do that? And will they actually, you know, jump through those hoops? Because this is take a long time. It's not going to take a week. It's not going to take 2 weeks. For goodness sake, it could take a couple of years by the time they go through all of this. So how's the American public? How are you feeling about what you heard? Because I think a lot of people were confused. I think a lot of people were not satisfied with what the president had to say. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there were a lot of people that thought, man, this was on target. He really nailed it. It was the boom, ba-boom. Who, what, where, when, why. This is what we're doing. And, you know, most of the president's speech dealt with the consequences of not acting militarily in the face of these chemical weapons being deployed against civilians, the most since Saddam Hussein used them against the Kurds in 1988. So get ready to call in. Coming up next, we have Jeff Holtzman, though. After that, light him up, 855-266-5283. What do you think? Stay with us. More to come on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Addressing the nation tonight, of course, Syria was the topic, as we all knew, and he was at the East Room of the White House. Pretty much the focus was targeted military strikes, and then he flushed it out from there. Each and every show, we talk with the true insiders in D.C. and really outside of D.C. from Talk Radio News. Jeff Holtzman joins us now, and Jeff, I'll tell you what, I thought he was very succinct. It was, you know, 20 minutes, boom, ba boom, ba boom, laying out, this is what happened. Here's the evidence. Here's what's happened in the past. World War One, World War Two, and the Holocaust there, and, chemical weapons, which in World War One used on our own troops. So we can't tolerate that. And then laid out arguments for the, not even arguments, but laid out reasons for what he says is the targeted attack, but then talked about the new development of Russia. What did you, just from your point of view as somebody covering politics, what did you think of it overall?
Well, I think overall it was a call to inaction because, you know, what the president did was, you know, for the majority of the speech, it was sort of a sales pitch to the public. You know, this is what Assad did. He used chemical weapons. He killed innocent people, including children. He gassed them to death. And therefore, you know, he's a madman, he violated international law, and he must be punished. And all of that makes sense. It's very logical. And, you know, while we don't have 100% evidence that that's what happened, we are near close to that. I mean, we're all fairly convinced that this is what happened on August 21st. And so I think that the public understands that. But what the public doesn't understand, or at least is divided on, I should say, is the response. And whether America has any business responding. And so, again, that's the sales pitch part of the speech tonight. The president said, you know, this is, you know, we can't turn a blind eye to this as the U.S. You know, we're not necessarily the world's policemen, but we have to respond, you know, when somebody like Assad, a dictator like that, commits such an atrocity. But, you know, the interesting thing is, as you mentioned, you know, Russia and Syria have now come out and said, look, Syria does have a chemical weapons program, but they'd be willing to abandon it. They'd be willing to sign the Chemical Weapons Convention and turn over their stockpile. And this is interesting. It's sort of like, where did this come from? Because last week, Bashar Assad went on TV and said that Syria did not have a chemical weapons program. So, you know, the president, obviously cognizant of that, you know, explained that he's asked Congress to delay the vote while this offer by Syria is assessed. He said his administration is going to be reviewing the offer, talking to Russia, talking to others. He said he's dispatched John Kerry to Europe to meet with his Russian counterpart tomorrow to talk about this. So basically, Obama, in a nutshell, Obama still thinks Assad should be punished, but the plan is on hold while this offer is reviewed.
So I almost think he got a pass by what's happened with Russia and then saying that he had spoken to Putin, and that's exactly how this all ended, because he said it's too early to tell if the latest diplomatic efforts are going to succeed, but there's the possibility, as you were talking about, that Syria is going to be rid of chemical weapons without force, and as you said, he's sending Kerry to meet with Lavrov this week, the counterpart, basically, the foreign minister in Russia, and here's the deal. You would have to have a verifiable timeline. You would have to have an inventory that you could actually have access to. And if we learned anything from Iraq, you know how long this could take? It could take a very long time. And I think you'd have to have those guarantees locked in place. And to me, that's the big question coming out of this. What, you know, we don't really know, right?
Yeah, that's the big question. We don't know. I mean, we know that Syria's chemical weapons stockpile is big. We know that they have 5 sites within their country where they store the stuff. But again, we don't know the sincerity of their offer. There could be ulterior motives at stake. And also the question of, you know, the actual execution of getting the chemical weapons out of the country, that's a huge undertaking. Not only would you have to go, you know, locate, you have to somehow convince Syria to let international teams of inspectors come in and identify all the weapons stockpile sites, but also just getting them out of the country is difficult because these are chemical weapons. Okay, you can't just, you know, light a match and throw it into a burn pit and say, poof, be gone. This is something that has to be handled delicately and could take a long time. It took the U.S. a long time to move Libya's chemical weapons stockpile out of that country. Remember, the U.S. Took all those chemical weapons and stored them in a facility in Tennessee back in 2003,
right.
Just as a frame of reference. So this is a massive undertaking, and that's why this whole thing is so interesting, because we were being told by Obama last week that the U.S. needed to act and needed to act quickly to respond to Assad. Mm-hmm. And now Obama says he's willing to, you know, review this offer, which frankly could take a long time to sort out the details.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, because he's definitely obviously aware of the public sentiment and it being not in favor of jumping into this in Syria because we're war weary, he brought that up. He specifically mentioned, oh, a veteran said this, and then there was a letter here. I thought that was pretty interesting, and that was the typical thing that we've seen from this president, where he's trying to say, hey, you know, I hear you, I hear what you're saying, but let me explain. Did you kind of get that sense as you were listening to him? As you said, it's kind of like a call to inaction.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of his sales pitch, is convincing the public that a military strike against Syria wouldn't turn into another Iraq.
Yeah.
And you know, it probably wouldn't, but at the same time, I think the public has a right to be skeptical. We are war weary. We've been at war for over 10 years, not only in Iraq, but Afghanistan as well, and no one wants a repeat of that. No one wants another, you know, years-long occupation / invasion. The president did say in his remarks tonight that he does not want boots on the ground, so to speak. Although, let's be honest, I mean, we're going to have CIA, we're going to have special ops and things like that. We're just not going to have armed guards wearing military fatigues. But, I think the next part of that equation is, how do you convince the public that it would be worthwhile doing a target strike? I mean, would lobbing a couple cruise missiles into Syria really do anything? And the president said, look, the U.S., you know, there's no such thing as a U.S. military pinprick. The U.S. military is the strongest in the world, and even if we do something small, it's still more than the rest of the world can do. So that's his argument there, but he still got to convince a lot of skeptical lawmakers who say that it's just not worth taking a half measure. If the goal isn't to force Assad out of power, then what's the point?
Yeah, and he did talk about it. He talked about, well, you know, we removed a dictator before, and then we got the blame for that, referring to Iraq, for what happened afterwards. So he specifically pointed that one out. What do you think the reaction is going to be, and we've already seen some of it, first of all, for most of the Republicans, the ones, let's say, who really aren't on board with going into Syria?
Well, I think that I don't think there's any convincing, you know, the real conservative part of the party. I mean, actually, it's interesting. Rand Paul was scheduled to give a response to President Obama. I missed that. But I can tell you that having watched Rand Paul earlier today on CNN, he said, you know, that the president, if he Rand Paul is obviously not on board with attacking Syria. He wants a diplomatic solution. He wants the U.S. to pretty much stay out of it. And he said that President Obama should get credit if he can somehow, you know, broker a deal where the U.S. doesn't have to use force. So
yeah.
That was kind of interesting to hear Rand Paul say that. But there are a lot of Republicans who won't support military intervention. There are a lot of Democrats. Amy Baldwin is the latest. She's a liberal Democrat from Wisconsin, came out today and said she will not support a strike against Syria. So the president has, I mean, there's bipartisan support. You know, you have John Boehner, you have Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi all supporting it. And then you have a ton of bipartisan opposition. This is a truly fascinating story in Washington because rarely do you have an issue that garners this kind of bipartisanship for and against. And I'll say one more thing to your mention of the president's comment about removing dictators. That was really interesting, Kate. He mentioned, you know, Iraq and removing Saddam Hussein, which
right.
led to this huge vacuum and, you know, this long sectarian war in Iraq. Well, what he didn't mention was Libya. Of course, remember the U.S. a couple of years ago led this air campaign to get Muammar Gaddafi out of power.
Yeah.
We were ultimately successful, but we also created this huge vacuum of power. And, of course, part of that ended up causing Benghazi, where you had these rebels running around and attacking our CIA and diplomatic compound there in Benghazi. So the president conveniently left that out of his speech. But I think he's right to try and, you know, orchestrate a campaign where you're not necessarily doing, you know, this long invasion and ground war. But at the same time, he's still got questions to answer, specifically, you know, is it worth going in if you're not going to get Assad to come to the table or step down?
Yeah, and timetable-wise, what do you think? Do you think this kicks into next week or the tail end? I think it goes to next week.
Oh, yeah, I think this definitely is. It at least kicks into next week, and that's just in terms of a vote. I mean, Congress has to debate this and then vote. That takes a couple of days. But I think that given what we're hearing about Syria's offer, you know, and Russia backing them, it's going to take a couple of days at least to unfold. So you might not see any concrete action until next week.
Yeah, I agree. All right, great job, Jeff Holtzman. Thanks, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again. Thanks. Bye bye.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin V, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Just In Case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
2, 3, woo-hoo.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. Came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, "Don't look back, just keep on walking."
Ooh-hoo. I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria. I will not pursue an open-ended action like Iraq or Afghanistan. I will not pursue a prolonged air campaign like Libya or Kosovo. What kind of world will we live in if the United States of America sees a dictator brazenly violate international law with poison gas and we choose to look the other way?
All right, I would say, why wouldn't you take out that dictator? If you've listened to me on America Tonight, you've heard me say that before. With all the intelligence we have and, let's face it, the black ops, why didn't somebody take Assad out? Clearly, as the president stated, the evidence showed that sarin gas was used, and it was used from Assad, from his military, despite the fact that he said, no, the rebels used it, and then turned around when the Russians asked, would you give up your chemical weapons, said, well, yes, we will negotiate that because concern over the targeted military strike from the U.S. So clearly they have chemical weapons. It's not a secret. And the whole idea of the president pushing the moral case to a country where he knows, looking at the polls, we're sick of a decade plus of war. But the images were awful. From August 21st, from that attack in Damascus. And he talked about fathers clutching lifeless children and dead bodies lined up in rows and people that were foaming at the mouth, which is, if you saw the video, you certainly saw that. So given in just that little portion you just heard there, this was part of the address of the president to the nation, which was, you know, just a short, by the way, address, less than 20 minutes, actually. And In the entire thing, to me, he was combating what public opinion was, talking about the case for chemical weapons. Okay, yes, we're chemical weapons. And then going through a list, almost like a laundry list of here's what happened, here's what it is, on down the line, almost like he was doing this, almost like it was like a response to questions from, I don't know, maybe one of the 10,000 interviews he's done on 60 Minutes with like a Steve Croft. So it was interesting, and you heard Jeff talk about that there, Rand Paul's response, because he was supposed to have the official response, but Rand Paul said earlier in the day, Assad deserves death, but Obama will leave him in power. And that's exactly what he said in the speech, that, oh, well, you know, we took a dictator out before, so we can't do that this time, because then when the country isn't on its feet or goes in whatever direction it goes in, we get blamed for that. So did Obama make the case for Assad being a killer and using poison gas? He certainly did. But the ultimate plan, and as Rand Paul said, the ultimate plan is to leave Assad alone. And is that the mistake? Is this the guy who needs to be taken out, which is what I've said all along? Why isn't he just taken out? If he's killing over 100,000 people in this so-called civil war, when they're taking tanks down streets and shooting through suburban neighborhoods, through walls of homes, you know, you come to probably what conclusion, right? At this point, and we're going to go to what public opinion is, plus any of you, AmericaTonight.net, if you want to flip it into the mail bag, or 855-266-5283. Does this make you want to back any kind of a targeted military strike? And what do you think ultimately is the end game here? 855-266-5283. The approval ratings for Obama now on foreign policy at an all-time low. He, only 4 in 10 of us, according to a CNN ORC poll, approve of the job the president is doing on foreign policy. 57% disapprove, and you be the judge of that. This has to do with a lot of what's happened, obviously, in Syria. I think Benghazi is also a part of that from before. Weigh that in. And the president was pushing for congressional authorization for the military action, so now he's going to wait. And he's going to wait for what happens with the UN as well, and this negotiation with Syria, the chemical weapons and whatnot. So, is it a diplomatic response that's going to happen here? It certainly looks that way, doesn't it? Do you trust that Assad's going to say, yeah, let me lead you down the path, and here's these chemical weapons and that chemical weapon, and, you know, this is the stockpile that we have at this point, or do you think he's going to hoard away a few others in different spots? Well, you know, probably hoard them away, because I think Assad talks out of both sides of his mouth, as do many dictators in the chess game that is the Middle East. So the U.S. can't retreat now. I mean, there is no retreat in this, because even in what was laid out, I believe we should act. We're going to wait with the Russians. There's been something encouraging that's happened because of perhaps what was mentioned as a possible strike. So it's interesting. It was more about he was looking for a reason. So, like I said, it was almost like giving an interview to like a 60 Minutes. Yeah, here's what happened, and here's what I'm addressing back with this. And it wasn't statesmanlike. It wasn't, okay, this is it, boom. I said the red line. Here is the red line, and this is what we're doing. Too late, so sorry, you fools. We're not going to work this out in any other way. This is what's going to happen, barring 15 different assurances, and right now, immediately, going into Syria with a plan to dismantle the chemical weapons. Because I think that is also key in this whole agreement. Not that they won't have that, try to have all those things in place, but this is more and more time for Assad also to get his act together with whatever's happening over there. I mean, and remember, this is a country that is torn apart with civil war. So then you're bringing people in. It's going to be a difficult situation anyway to have to deal with that and figure out how to dismantle these weapons. It's not like you just go in with some giant trucks and, okay, we're going to haul these away. no, that's not what's going to happen here. It's going to take a while for that, if this all comes to a head, it's going to take a while for that to all work itself out. In the middle of their war. It's been over 2 years. 2 years. All right, let's go to David, who's patiently waiting in San Francisco. Hey, David, you get the first word on this. What do you say?
Well, hi, Kate. You know, I was, when I first heard about it's been one of the promises that Obama made was to get out of both Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
And thinking back 20 years, when George Bush, the dad, did the Gulf War, and he won it in 40 days, we didn't pull all of those weapons back to America. We basically allowed these arms merchants to buy them on the auction market, and they were buying all sorts of different things for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and basically all of the weapons that are floating around the Middle East are leftovers from 20 years ago. Now, if you look at what we're leaving in Iraq as well as leaving in Afghanistan, to me, all you have to do is look at where Syria is on a map, and then you realize that if we're not going to bring these weapons out and they're going to auction them off, then the arms merchants need to put them on trucks and drive them somewhere. Now, Syria is this long, skinny country that's right in the middle of everywhere.
Right.
If you're going to drive from Iraq to Turkey, if you're going to go to Lebanon, if you're going to go to Egypt, if you're going to go to Saudi Arabia, you're going to have to go through Syria. Now, if Syria was a normal country in peacetime, they would have checkpoints, and there's no way in the world that all of these, truckloads full of tanks and car tires and air conditioners and all this sort of stuff would be going through, much less full of missiles and hand grenades and everything else. So it's to the arms merchants' advantage to have destabilization in Syria for just long enough for them to be able to haul all of this stuff around, and then they can seal up the borders again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So mm-hmm. That to me, that was the first thing I thought of when I realized that that Obama really wasn't bringing all those weapons back to America that we hauled over there for the last 10 years. Then the second thing, and this is big news over in the Middle East, but it's not getting a huge amount of coverage in America, and that's this Saudi Prince Bandar. And if you look him up on Wikipedia, Prince Bandar is pretty famous for many of the worst arms sales and intrigues. He was involved with Oliver North. He was involved in, there's even the suspicion that he was involved with bringing down Jimmy Carter with some intrigue with Reagan. But Prince Bandar is now being accused of providing this gas that was used in the event of August, 2 weeks ago or so. And if you read these news accounts, apparently there was this little rebel group of about 15 people, and Prince Bandar gave them these shells, but he didn't tell them what they were, and he didn't tell them what was in them. Mm. And so basically it sounds like they fired a few of them off, and then the rest blew up in their bunker, so, killing most of them. So the one survivor is claiming that Prince Bandar gave it to him.
Wow. Wow. I didn't even read that. Thank you for pointing that out. I guarantee it's probably in the Daily Mail, and I missed that. All right. So David throws in his 2 cents. He's right. All you have to do is look at a map of Syria. I had one on the show the other day, and it's scary where things could head. Stay with us.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
In times of disaster, internet and mobile networks will go dark. A wealth of online information will be completely inaccessible. Now, imagine the most extensive survival and disaster preparedness library ever created, with information for every possible scenario still available to you without online access. That's the survival key. Ben Franklin said it best. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Get your survival key at GetSurvivalKey.com. Quite literally, the key to your survival. GetSurvivalKey.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
We didn't change my mind, but there's a hopeful glimmer with this Russian initiative. It's conceivable, I suppose, that Bashar Assad might want to give up his chemical weapons. I think the diplomacy should go first. And in addition, if you're going to put together a coalition, that needs to go before any sort of action. He's outlined his plan and asked the Congress to bless it. And because on behalf of the American people, we don't think it's a plan that's likely to work, we were prepared to vote against it.
Senator Whitaker from Mississippi, you heard what he had to say. We're prepared to vote against it. Now the whole kink in the armor is this Russia thing, and as he was talking about there, the diplomacy angle in the Syria agreeing to show its arsenal, that's the latest thing to drop here in the last, 24 hours after the president speaks. He made his case for the military intervention and diplomacy, and as he pushed through Congress, the same thing too. And Syria is agreeing to disclose the locations of chemical weapons, stop manufacturing chemical weapons, supposedly, and show the locations to representatives from Russia and other countries and the UN as well. So agreeing to that. It's interesting. The Syrian foreign minister said that, and he was in Moscow, said that his government is ready to fully cooperate with the Russian initiative that would include Damascus joining the Chemical Weapons Convention and turning over its chemical weapons. So the timing is interesting for that. And really, is Secretary of State Kerry has egg on his face because he could have taken the credit for that, but instead Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, will get the credit if this all wraps up in a neat little package of, okay, now we have all these people that are going to go over and we're fine. And Kerryan, the foreign minister in Russia, Lavrov, have been appointed by the two presidents as the point people on the chemical weapons issue. So they've talked 9 times since August 21st, since that attack, and they're going to talk again. So this is what's happening. This is how this is unfolding. Russia is also proposing a UN draft declaration backing the initiative to put Syrian chemical weapons under international control. And the man I just mentioned, the foreign minister, Lavrov, has said that its own draft, we have our own draft resolution that we got from France, another one, and it holds us responsible for the use of chemical weapons and says it's unacceptable. So, interesting. France is going to offer a 5-point UN Security Council resolution, and one of them is condemning the massacre and having Syria get rid of weapons of mass destruction and having them under international control, having international inspections, forcing Syria to face severe consequences if it violates obligations to submit the perpetrators of the massacre to international justice. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? In other words, turn over the people who use the weapons. Good luck with that. I don't know that they're going to have that happen. So the president said diplomacy, sanctions, warnings weren't working, and it was targeted military strike that he was looking at. And then there was, like I said, this diplomacy thing came back around again because of Russia, because of the chemical weapons, and we'll give you the chemical weapons, and we'll let you bring teams in, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So the president said delay the Syrian vote because he's waiting to see what happens in the next couple of days. So here's the question. Did the president sell you on his plan or not? And ultimately, what was your reaction to what he had to say? It was like a sales pitch to me, clearly, that went through the points that people were attacking him on and answering all of those questions. He just went through them one by one. Overcoming the objections is what it looked like to me, or what it sounded like to me anyway. A majority of people who watched the primetime address say they favor the approach to Syria that the Prez spelled out. They did an instant poll on CNN of people who were watching. And after it wrapped up, they said that they were split on whether the president made the case for military action against Syria, but then talked about what they thought should happen. 60% of the people questioned said it wasn't in the nation's interest of the U.S. to be involved in the 2-year-old Syrian civil war, and more than half said the speech didn't change their confidence in the president's leadership on military in general and internationally. So 61% say they support the president's position on Syria. 37 say they oppose his response to the Syrian government's alleged use of chemical weapons against its own citizens. 2/3 who watch the speech think the situation in Syria is likely to be resolved through diplomatic efforts. 2/3. 35% disagree. What do you think? Diplomacy trumps all? Diplomacy? I think you just got to pick a lane and stay in the lane. Find out what the lane is, and hey, if something different happens in the 11th hour, which is what one thing that is happening here, something different is happening in the 11th hour. Syria decided to give in first is what it is. That's what it amounts to. Instead of digging in, they're just throwing up the white flag. Possibly because of the ties with Putin and the threat of any kind of intervention whatsoever. But with what's gone on here, and now the new lows, even that I told you about previously, with the president on foreign policy and the sales-like tactics of pitching this thing, whatever happens with the wrap up of this, he's not going to get the credit for it. You know, did he, I say this all the time on the show, did he move the needle for you? Whether you like the president or not, if you're mature enough and you can put that aside, you know, where you're not just pound him no matter what. You just put that aside, just solely listen to what he had to say and whether or not you agree with his stance is more what I'm talking about. I say part of the problem is, one, not taking out Assad when he could have, and two, even if you toss that aside, responding now, but then saying, the red line is the world's red line, then taking the red line back and saying, okay, once somebody crosses this line, we have an act in place, and this is the reason why so many countries have signed it, and it's encouraging, and it works, and so this is it. This is where we have to part company. And now it looks like the Assyrians anyway are going to try to make it work with people on site and people taking the chemical weapons and having it under international control. He just knew when the river card came up, I guess he didn't have enough steam. That's a poker reference, by the way, to Texas Hold'em. 855-266-5283. That's the number you want to keep handy as we roll through the rest of the week here on America Tonight, because the buzz in your backyard and the buzz in my backyard, without a doubt, at some point in a conversation during your day, I feel confident to say, I bet Syria comes up, maybe even if it's just once. Maybe even if it's only once. And the job of the president was to try to sell a military intervention. He didn't want us to oppose it. He wanted the American people to oppose it. So telling the nation that he needed authorization to attack Syria for chemical weapons use as leverage in a newly emerged diplomatic opening from Russia. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, is what he was trying to do, to move the needle of public opinion. Key thing, no boots on the ground, because this is a heavy concern of so many people. All roads lead to the website, americatonight.net. You can click on Facebook and you can tweet us all over the place. It's there, too, as well, the links to that. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.